It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Pivot off the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
You lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you. Larry.
Lollygag.
Lollygaggers. What's our record, Larry?
8-16.
8-16. How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball. You hit the ball. You catch the ball. You got it!
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall Minor League Report here on YesNetwork.com. I am Joe Auriemma. With me is David Fenster, our Trenton Thunder reporter. How are you? What's going on, David?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you, Joseph?
Well, things are good in Trenton right now. I mean,
things are a little quiet in Trenton. Our guys are on the road.
Yeah.
But things are playing very well for us this season. We've clinched a playoff spot. Currently, we are 2.5 games ahead of the second-place team, whom we're going to face in the playoffs, the New Hampshire Fisher Cats,
right,
the affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. And we are 2.5 games ahead with 3 to go. So
the magic number is 1.
Magic number is 1.
And an impressive win over New Britain, 20-6. What an offensive show.
Last night, 18 hits.
Yeah.
And really, it was an incredible game for us. And my man, Dan Brewer, 3 hits.
Wow.
So I like Dan Brewer. We you know, we'll talk about Dan at some point in the future, I'm sure. He's an outfielder, and he can run, he can hit, he can field very well.
Right.
And he had the game-winning hit on Thursday evening here in Trenton, and I think he's going to be an exciting player to watch.
All right, so
that, you know, I don't know that he's going to
right.
be a 1-2-3 outfielder, but he certainly, I think, will be a good serviceable four.
All right, so right now, Trenton already clinched a playoff spot. New Hampshire, right there with them. They're going to play them in the first round. In the other division, we have Altoona's already clinched a playoff spot, and the Bowie Bay Sox and Harrisburg are
they're tied
right now.
They're tied.
Yeah, so that's going to be very interesting, especially going into – it should be a great playoffs.
It should be a wonderful playoff. I mean, what we need to do in Trenton is need to get by New Hampshire, which is not going to be easy because we have a losing record against New Hampshire this year by a wide margin.
Right.
Seems that, you know, there's always one club that is a thorn in the side. New Hampshire is Trenton's. And interestingly enough, New Britain is New Hampshire's. And New Britain is, you know, I hate to say the doormat of the league, but they've only won 42 games this season.
Yeah.
That's not good. They're rivaling the 1994 Trenton Thunder for having a bad record. That was our first season in existence when
right.
it was the Detroit Tiger affiliate. So you're right. The playoffs are looming for us. We need to get by New Hampshire, and then we'll play the winner of the Western, and it can either be Altoona or, as you said, Bowie or Harrisburg. They're tied, so it's going down to the wire. So that's an exciting race in the Western Division.
All right, so Trenton right now, their magic number is 1. Tony Franklin has done such a great job with this team. What did he have to say? And kind of we're going into a soundbite with you and Tony Franklin, so just kind of preview what Tony Franklin had to say to you.
Okay, you're right. Tony is a great manager, and we talked about, just summed up what he needs, what's going to happen in the playoffs in terms of the pitching rotation, and also one of our former players this year, Brandon Laird,
right.
received 2 awards, Rookie of the Year in the Eastern League and the MVP award.
Wow.
This is the first time that a Thunder player has won the MVP award, and Tony talked about that as well.
All right, so this is Tony Franklin with our David Fenster.
David Fenster, I'm with Trenton Thunder manager Tony Franklin. Thanks for joining me, Tony.
Mm-hmm. Good to be with you.
Well, we're winding down the regular season, already clinched a playoff spot. currently in first place with the playoffs looming next week. Talk about the rotation, if you wouldn't mind, about what you have in mind.
Well, we've got probably the way things are panning out. I think what may happen here is we'll probably end up going with Betances to open the playoffs, and he'd probably be followed by Warren, and in the third game it'll probably be Brackman, and then we'll just basically keep the same five-man rotation, and because there are no days off, and you know everybody deserves a chance to rest a little bit and stay sharp.
Okie doke. And today was announced that one of your players, Brandon Laird, was elected MVP of the Eastern League. Just your comment on that.
Well-deserved honor. Well-deserved. Actually, not only named the Eastern League MVP, but named Rookie of the Year as well. And I think both are well-deserved. And Brandon put a fantastic year together in a very short period of time. I think 3 months of the season, maybe 3.5 months of the season, and his numbers are still holding up at the top of the league. And you just don't see that very often. So both honors are well-deserved, and my congratulations to Brandon.
Yeah, that actually was going to be my next question. In your experience, and I know your experience, have you seen too many guys put together seasons like that in just 107 games?
Not like that, no. Brandon never missed too many opportunities. He missed very few opportunities to drive in runs and drive in multiple runs during the course of a game a number of times. And no, I have not seen anything like that before in my life. I've gone through a whole season with guys who produced a lot of home runs or produced a lot of RBIs or stolen bases or in just any one category, but overall I've never seen a season put together like that with home runs and RBIs in that short a period of time.
David, always, as always, good stuff with the manager. But really, what's interesting is I was talking to you before the podcast. Andy Pettitte, if he comes back, he's going to have to make a rehab start here.
He is, and there's a possibility. I mean, he also could possibly be sent to Scranton,
right?
Because they're in the playoffs as well.
Okay.
But of course, we would be very happy to have him with us in Trenton. And I even asked Tony at some point about that, and his response was, "They're not planning on anything. They're going to go ahead as if it's their five in the rotation.
Right.
And if New York calls and says that they need to get Andy down there, he said that obviously." The most important thing to the Yankees is that the Yankees win the World Series, and they need to do whatever they can to facilitate that. So Andy would move into the rotation, or at least get a start in the playoffs.
It's really an interesting scenario because Trenton, really, all season, they're 82-57, 25 games over 500. I'm sure they would love to have Andy Pettitte, especially in a playoff spot. But they've had... You know, they've had guys called up, you know, DJ Mitchell and Lance Pendleton and everybody else, but they have a consistent five, and to just kind of be thrown into the mix and Andy Pettitte, it really is, it's something, that's what is so special about minor league baseball, because on any given day, you know, you could have a major league superstar, you know, in your playoff rotation. It's just, it really is amazing.
Well, it seems that in the past, we've had a few rehabbing players, but it's always the opposing club that has a pitching star,
right,
that's going up against us in the playoffs. And this year, perhaps we can turn the tables. I mean, Lance Berkman was in Trenton last week.
I played wonderfully.
Yes, and he didn't actually play very well for us. I think he hit 250.
Okay, well, I mean,
he was a wonderful presence.
Yeah, I mean, he went 2-for-8. He you're right. He didn't do too much. He had a run scored, but you know he's on his way back, and he's been mashing the ball.
I saw he hit a double, a pinch hit double when he came back to the Yanks, which was nice. Plus, he was a great presence in the clubhouse, and Tony couldn't stop talking about what a great hitter he thinks that Berkman is, and that the kids were watching him. You know, the kids being the Thunder players.
Yeah.
We're watching him and how he hit in the cage and how his approach to hitting. And Tony felt that he did a wonderful job just teaching these kids by example. So we had Berkman. And you know, in the past, we had, when Matsui was on the Yankees, he
right.
rehabbed with us and played with us in the playoffs. And actually, to be honest with you, it was kind of detrimental to our playoff run because we had everything set and we had to get Mitsui in there, and he didn't perform very well for us. And ironically, his first game back after playing with us in the playoffs, he went 4-for-4.
Yeah,
and I went and I talked to him about it. I said, "Ah, so major league pitching is easier for you than Eastern League pitching." And he laughed and he said, "No, just a lot of more practice." And he understood. So anyway, so this year you're right. I think, you know, Andy Pettit will be with us potentially, and it would be probably be great for everybody in the club if that could happen. But if not, I think that we have the guns to do it.
All
right.
We
have some good arms there. You want to talk about those?
Yeah, that's where I was leading to next.
Okay.
I want to talk about Dellin Betances.
Let's talk about the big boy from Brooklyn.
Yeah, 6'8", 245 listed at. Down in Tampa this year, he was 8-1 in 14 starts, a 1.77 ERA, 88 strikeouts, 19 walks, not a bad ratio. You look at his stats in Trenton, 3 starts, 3.77 ERA, no record, but 20 strikeouts to just 3 walks. He's got great control.
He does, and he's a big boy. You know, when he steps onto the mound and strides toward the plate, I don't think I'd want to be the hitter. So, and he's a nice kid. You know, he's coming off surgery.
Right, he had Tommy John.
He had Tommy John, and he missed the season. And the truth is that he's looking good. I mean, he's looking good for us. And he earned his way up to Trenton, and it looks like, if everything goes the way the rotation is supposed to be, as Tony had mentioned,
right,
in the soundbite, that he would be probably starting the playoffs for us.
Wow, I that's awesome. I mean, that's really saying something, what they think about the kid, you know, coming down from single A up to double A this year, that he would be the main starter for you guys.
Oh, sure. And the other thing, of course, is that he's being thrown into a playoff race. But he's coming from a playoff race, and
right,
he just wants to help the team win.
That's great, and I know you caught up with him, so let's check out this soundbite with David Fenster and Dellin Betances.
David Fenster, and I'm with fellow Brooklynite Dellin Betances. Welcome to AA.
Thank you for having me here, and it's definitely an honor to you know, be able to play in a tight race and help contribute, like, you know, for a championship run.
Well, you seem to have fit in quite well, and I guess after a couple of starts, you don't feel that you're overmatched at this level.
I mean, I feel like my stuff's been good enough to, you know, pitch in any level they put me on. I mean, obviously consistency has been the key, and just being able to command all your pitches has helped me a lot. So, I mean, I feel confident. I mean, you just gotta be smart and learn how to pitch and at every level you go up.
I know that it must have been difficult for you coming back from the surgery. Do you feel 100% now?
I mean, I feel great. I probably, you know, they say it takes a year and a half or whatever. I mean, I feel great right now, but I mean, I just got to, you know, keep working and, you know, just try to reach, you know, the strength-wise level I could. I mean, I feel like I could definitely get stronger, but right now, I feel like it's been a great year thus far.
You guys had a pretty good club down in Tampa as well, a contending club, and you mentioned that, you know, it's exciting for you and you would like to contribute to the playoffs. So we've already here in Trenton clinched a playoff spot, so you know you'll be in the playoffs. Something that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I was in Tampa, I know we were going for, you know, second half, and we were, like, I think we were, like, 3 games up, and just to get called up here. Now these guys, we clinched playoff spot. Now we're going for a division title. I mean, it's definitely, you know, just a, like, an honor just to come here and able to contribute and definitely get gear up for playoffs. Since last year, we won the championship in Tampa, and I wasn't able to pitch because I was hurt. So now to be healthy is definitely a good, you know, good thing.
Looking forward to a ring.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely looking forward and help the team win a ring instead of just watching.
So I know that in Brooklyn that loyalties run very deep, and there are a lot of people who go back to the days of the Dodgers, and if you were a Dodger fan, you hate the Yankees and you hate the Giants, and if you're a Giants fan, you hate the Yankees and the Dodgers, but there are no Dodgers, there are no Giants anymore. So did you grow up, and are you from a family of Yankee fans or Mets fans?
Yankee fans. All my family, they love the Yankees. because I was born in Washington Heights, so that was like 15 minutes away. So I went to a lot of games with my godfather and my father and my brothers and cousins. So we always went to Yankees games. So Yankees is definitely the team.
And who were the players that you aspired to be when you were a kid, and who your heroes were on the Yankees?
I mean, I've watched a ton of pitchers like David Cone, David Wells. I watched Derek Jeter play, Bernie Williams, Paul O'Neill, all those guys. Just, you know, I mean, just a few names there. So, I mean, I definitely watched, like, as far as pitchers, I watched David Cone a lot and Andy Pettit.
Have you had a chance to get up to the new stadium yet?
Yeah, I've seen the new stadium. I caught a couple games last year in the postseason, and, you know, it's definitely a nice stadium.
And you're looking forward to making your debut there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why I'm here, to keep working and get there and stay there. So, I mean, I feel good right now. Just got to take this on to the postseason and next year.
David, another good soundbite you got from these guys down in Trenton. Dylan, a former eighth-round pick, truly a great story, and we'll probably see him up at the big league club sooner than later at this point.
I think so. I think he's, you know, making a case for himself. But, you know, keeping in mind that he's young, you know, and the fact that he also doesn't have that many innings under his belt, it wouldn't surprise me if we saw him again in Trenton at the beginning of next year,
right?
You know, with the thought process like DJ and Pendleton and Noesi, that he may be moved up to Scranton or beyond. Another great story.
Yeah.
Here, of course, you know, people have been talking about him for a few years now, and we were just waiting for him to arrive in Trenton, and I'm talking about the ambidextrous pitcher, Pat Venditti.
Pat Venditti, yes. Pat Venditti had a great season in Tampa.
Wonderful. He was 4-1, 1.73 ERA. But you notice he had 85 strikeouts, 14 walks.
Yeah, and
72 innings.
So he pitched a game. He pitched an inning. He got the easy win. He's 1-0. He had a strikeout. So what's it like watching this kid play?
I think that we were a little disappointed in the fact that he only threw lefty the first time, the inning that he threw. And, you know, I'm not sure whether the stats on minor league are correct. I'm not certain that he did get the win for that game.
Okay.
But, you know, I know that it was up on there as well. And there was a question about it after the game. It was a bullpen victory. And, you know,
right,
the bullpen victory goes to the official scorer. So
right,
I'm not sure. But it doesn't take anything away from his performance. He only pitched left-handed, pitched against three lefties, and got them all out. And what was funny about that is that after the game, Tony Franklin said, you know, I'm looking at him in the bullpen, and he's throwing righty. And he's only pitching righty. And then I called down to Tommy Phelps, who's our pitching coach, and Tony said, tell him he's facing three left-handers. And he came out to the mound, threw one pitch righty, and then just switched to lefty, threw a couple of pitches, and was ready to go. And I happen to have known about that, because as we will hear from the soundbite, I asked him about if his warm-up sessions took a little longer, you know, because he had to warm
right
up on both sides. And he said he doesn't need much time to warm up lefty. So I was kind of laughing about that and told Tony to relax, and that was okay.
Now, let me ask you this, David, real quick.
Yeah.
What's it like seeing a guy throw from both sides? I mean, it's got to be quite a sight.
It really is. And the first thing is you notice his glove, which he said was made for him by Mizuno. It's a six-finger glove, and he can flip-flop it on either hand while he's out on the mound. So it's kind of cool.
That's,
you know,
very interesting.
That. I know that it only happened one other time, I believe, in professional baseball. A pitcher named Greg A. Harris, who incidentally did pitch for a while for the Mets, but I believe he finished up with Montreal, and he did that once, an ambidextrous pitcher, just once in his career.
Now let me ask you this: Do you think this kid has a shot of being a major leaguer?
I do. Because he has been successful at every level that he's pitched at, as you can see from the stats. And the thing that's you know, once the circus atmosphere is gone,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that it's a novelty to have an ambidextrous pitcher, but he's a good pitcher.
Right. It's not just like he's thrown from both sides and he has that capability and he's getting hit. He's
right.
actually
and
a good pitcher.
From the bite, you know, he's been doing it since he was three. His dad taught him how to do it, and he considers himself an ambidextrous pitcher. You know, there are people that are right-handed batters that can hit lefty and
right. So from did he say what side he pitches better from?
Oh yeah, he's got many. He throws harder and has many more pitches from the right side.
The right side.
From
okay.
the left side, I believe he's got a fastball and a slider.
But it's effective enough to get out lefties.
Exceptionally effective. I mean, it's kind of his left-handed delivery is more of a sidearm delivery. He comes over the top righty, and lefty is a sidearm delivery, which is very effective. You know, and probably what I should pay a little more attention. He's only pitched one inning for us, as we had mentioned. Pay a little more attention as we see him more. Which side of the rubber? If he moves the different sides of the rubber, depending on what arm he's throwing with, it'd be an interesting thing for me to check out. But I'm pretty sure he's on the left side of the rubber when he's throwing left-handed against lefties. That would be tough because his slider has great break to it, good movement, and obviously he's been effective.
Oh, that's great. And that's how we're going to end the show this week. We're going to listen to the soundbite with you and Pat Venditti, the ambidextrous pitcher. So it's, like I said, we'll be back next week to talk about the playoffs. What else is going on in Trenton but the playoffs?
Exactly.
So
well,
you are going to be...
The playoffs will be beginning on Wednesday,
yeah.
the 8th. And although we're not certain, I think there's a pretty good chance. I mean, the Thunder were not playing last night when they put up the 20 runs.
Right.
You know, they want to get this over with. They want to finish in first place, and they want the playoffs to begin in Trenton. Should begin Wednesday evening in Trenton against New Hampshire.
And like you said before, you know, the one thing that you had said was that kind of resonated with me, that New Hampshire was a little bit of a thorn in their side, but the playoffs are a whole different beast.
They are.
Especially when, you know, New Hampshire might not have faced a guy like Dellin Betances before. So this is going to be interesting. David, can't wait to hear your reports from the playoffs next week. And we'll get more minor league report off the wall here on YesNetwork.com. Keep it here every week to hear David's reports on the Trenton Thunder. Thanks again, David.
And thank you, Joe.
All right, here is Pat Venditti with David Fenster.
David Fenster, I'm with Trenton Thunder reliever Pat Venditti. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
I did pronounce your name correctly, didn't I?
You got it.
Okay, that's good. First of all, welcome to Trenton.
Thank you. It's good to get back up here. I was up in Staten Island in 2008. It's good to be back in this area.
Well, you played collegiate ball in Creighton. And actually what I thought was interesting is that I don't know, amongst the many firsts for you, you were drafted twice by the Yankees.
Yeah, 2007 and 2008. Decided to go back after the 2007 draft and you know, kind of improve my stuff a little bit and hopefully take a chance and get drafted the next year. Unfortunately enough, the Yankees took another chance on me.
Well, interesting that I guess, and a lot of people have mentioned the name Greg A. Harris to you, the last known pitcher to enjoy the same, I guess I'm making the word up, ambidextrosity that you have pitching from both sides of the plate. And he only did it in one game for Montreal, right? I think it was one of the last games he ever pitched in the majors. But a lot's been made of that. But the question I have, and people can read about that if they'd like, but what do your bullpen sessions go like when you're warming up? Do they take a little longer than the average warm-up?
It may take a little bit longer than just a, you know, a regular bullpen guy that only has to get one arm loose. Fortunately for me, the left only takes a few pitches. I can get up there, throw maybe four or five pitches, and be ready left-handed. So it's just a little extra time just to get those extra pitches in. But it's not too much different than anybody else.
You know, with the arsenal of pitches that you have, and more so from the right side, from the left, do you consider yourself a right-handed reliever who can also throw left, or do you like to talk about the fact that you are ambidextrous?
you know, I'm definitely ambidextrous in that way. Some days I'm better right-handed than, you know, the left, and some days I'm better left-handed. It just kind of really depends on the day and the hitter I'm facing, but I really don't have a side that I'm most comfortable from or anything like that, so it's pretty much equal.
And this is something that your dad had you do from the time you were little kids. How about switch hitting, a switch hitter too?
Yeah, I'm not the strongest hitter in the world, though. So,
you're 0-for-1, I looked that up.
Yeah,
That's okay.
I had a strikeout last year down in Tampa, but I ran the count full, though, so I saw a lot of pitches.
But I assume that when you were playing high school and or college ball that you were a decent hitter.
Yeah, and I actually know.
Is that right? You're the first pitcher? admitting that. I mean, it may be true, but
I was,
doesn't like to admit that.
Pretty much just a pitcher in high school, and then in college I had a couple of bats where, you know, the DH was out of the game, but yeah, I was never really a strong hitter.
Does it bug you at all that, you know, lost amongst all this hoopla is the fact that you're actually been a very successful pitcher at every level that you've competed at?
No, that doesn't matter to me. I have to go out there and pitch well. Being a 20th round pick as a senior, you have to. It's kind of a sink or swim thing where you gotta go out there and produce. And that's really been my main focus. And you know, without doing that, I wouldn't be able to get this opportunity that I'm having right now. So I just need to make sure I continue to go out there and do what I've done.
What did you feel was the reason, or why did you elect to stay at school for one more year?
I wasn't really ready. As far as ready to leave school, number one, I loved the experience that I was having at Creighton. And, you know, we were on the cusp of, or we had just finished winning a regional, and I wanted to go back there and experience that for one more year. Being from Omaha and being a big Creighton fan my whole life, it was really a dream come true to be able to play there, and I wasn't really ready to give that up yet.
You know, it's interesting, and of course I applaud your decision, because the best years of everybody's life, I think, are their college years. And, you know, you never can relive them again. You can always play ball afterwards. And it's not for lack of the Yankees not trying to entice you with a bonus. I mean, I know that they were trying to get you to come, so they must have really wanted you. They went after you the next year.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I wasn't ready to leave the college life behind, and the experiences and the people that I had met there. And, you know, money really, we never really got into big money talks as far as, you know, how much we were going to settle on when I was a junior. I think they kind of understood that I needed to go back for, you know, reasons beyond, you know, the classroom. And, you know, I needed to go back to improve my stuff as a pitcher. And I think, you know, them taking me the next year gave me a boost of confidence.
Do you have your degree?
Yes, I finished after, I wasn't done after 4 years, but I went back after my Staten Island summer and finished up.
What was your major?
Business. It was in the business school with a focus on marketing.
Okay, so when your career is over in another 15, 20 years, would you like to put that to use in the world of baseball?
Well, I mean, if my career lasts another 15 to 20 years, I won't need to do that. But, you know, who knows what tomorrow is going to bring. You just have to be ready for anything that comes your way.
There's another big kid from Nebraska that's pitching up at the Yankees. Did you get a chance to talk to Job at all?
Yeah. You know, we were rivals back in college when he went to Nebraska and I was at Creighton. And I was lucky enough to be able to go up and pitch in a couple pitched in one big league spring training game, but I was able to go up for a couple more. And it was cool to hang out with him in the bullpen and, you know, kind of reminisce about the games that we had against each other in college. And he's doing great things right now. And it's great to be able to talk to him. And, you know, it's a privilege to know him.
I'm sure you'll look forward to doing that up in the Bronx. Last question. You were in a playoff race down in Tampa, and I know that, you know, this group of guys, when they first came here this year, they had moved almost en masse from Tampa up here to Trenton, and you're in a playoff. Well, you're not in a playoff race anymore. We're in the playoffs, but you'll be in the playoffs. I mean, do you kind of feel bad that you left these guys behind?
You know, it is tough. You know, you work hard on something all year. And, you know, I checked last night, they're only 2 games up right now with 4 to go, so I hope they can hang on down there. That way their, you know, hard work doesn't go for nothing. But these guys up here, they've been putting in hard work all year, winning a lot of ball games, and I just want to come up here and help contribute and go finish out on a strong note here.
Okay, well, I wish you best of luck, and thanks for spending the time with me.
Thanks for having me.